This is my successor, Dr. Sean Collins. He'll be taking part of the workshop, and he will take over my mission when I leave. He's pushing me a bit, but I'm still holding on. We're beginning with Discipleship 101, and I will try to give what I feel was a basic heart of... I will try to give the basic philosophy of Dawson Trotman. Doss felt a lot of people, not too many people they felt had his vision, really caught it, something I guess more caught than taught, but he had a basic philosophy founded on scripture, basic theology. Every group has a theology. And in my opinion, the Navigators had a theology. And every theology is based on a certain scripture from which all other parts of the scriptures are drawn from. And Dawson was the same way. He had a basic philosophy, the inward core from which everything else flowed. And his basic philosophy began with the first commandment in the Word of God. How many know the first commandment in the Word of God? Yeah, first commandment, Genesis 1, 26 to 28. To 26, 27, 28. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the face of the earth." So God created man in his own image, and the image of man created he him. Male and female created he them. Verse 28, and God blessed them. We're not born in a curse, we're born in a blessing. We're born with a command. And God said, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over everything that moves upon the face of the earth." And this was the stem from which everything perhaps that Dawson believed and thought was derived from, the basic scripture. First place, we're created in the image of God and likeness. There's a slight difference between image and likeness. Jesus in the image of God. We're in the likeness of God. We are sovereign. God has put us the very highest of all creation. We're body, soul, and spirit. Created. Body, soul, and spirit. With our body, we're created from the dust of the ground, and we'll return to the dust of the ground, our physical body. But beside our physical body, we have a spirit. And with our spirit, we are made to communicate and fellowship with the living God. That's why we're here on earth. We're made to be conformed to God. We're made to have fellowship with God. That's the way we're created. And before God created the heaven and the earth, he created the plan of salvation. He's already in place. He created the idea, God and Jesus Christ, and how he would become a person and all like this. Before the fall, before everything was happened, everything was all in place. And we're created with the ability. God is not willing that any should perish, that all should come to the knowledge and repentance of God. All nations, everywhere, every human being is created for the purpose of, with his spirit, serving the living God. Now, we have body, soul, and spirit. There's great controversy on soul and spirit. The Bible says they're very similar, but there's a difference between the soul and the spirit, not discerning between the soul and the spirit, but there's a difference. Basically, the difference is with our spirit, we create in fellowship with God. And with our soul, it's the monitoring decision, the decision-making part of our body, our soul. In old times, they used to think of souls being saved. You don't use that so much now. But the soul is eternal. There are three things that are eternal. God's eternal. What else? The Word of God. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. And the soul. Everyone's a soul, and that soul will live forever. In heaven, are in hell. No exceptions. Body, soul, and spirit. With our spirit, we're created so we can fellowship with and walk with the living God. And with our soul, everyone makes a decision. I work in all countries and all cultures and languages. I've done formal language study in 5 Asian languages. Not that I speak them that well, but I've read the New Testament in 3 Asian languages. Our soul of everyone, regardless of culture. Can these Hindus understand the gospel? Can Islam understand the gospel? Can people understand the gospel? Of course. We're created with a soul, with ability to say yes and respond to Jesus. And God doesn't want any should perish. But he wants everyone to hear the gospel and make a decision and find out what we're to do. So we're body, soul, and spirit. And what is our purpose on earth? And I say God has put us on earth for 3 basic reasons. Number one, to have fellowship with the living God. We're created to worship God. We're created to fellowship with him. We're created to have enmity with be in a perfect. We walk in the light as he in the light. We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. There's no condemnation, no barrier, no guilt as we fellowship with the living God. And that's what he wants us to be. He wants us to be a true disciple of Jesus. No excuses. We can do it. If we're willing to obey and follow him, because he's created us with the capacity to live in fellowship with Jesus. So we're created body, soul, and spirit to have fellowship with the living God. Number 2, have dominion. Fish of the sea, the birds of the air, everything that moves on the face of the earth. We're created to control our environment. We're not created to be in defeat. We're not created to be in despair. We're not created to be under all kinds of difficult positions. We're created to have dominion, to excel. And our purpose after this life, we will become kings and priests and reign with God and rule over everything. Amen. Prepare it. Do it now. Have victory. You're not created to be in defeat. You're created to live in fellowship, to live in victory. You're created to conquer sin, not to be a part of sin. That's your makeup. That's what God wants. That's God's will. You can have it if you're willing to follow. So we have body, soul, and spirit. And that's part of us. And third, we're created to what? To reproduce. Or be fruitful. And every good tree bears good fruit. And dogs have puppies. And cats have kittens. What has Christians? Christians. Only Christians can reproduce Christians. Only abiding Christians walking in fellowship with Jesus Christ can reproduce disciples. Disciples are reproduced. Starting with the guy who, you, me, starting with the father, then the children, then the grandchildren, then the great-grandchildren, the great-great-great-grandchildren, the great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren. They start with me. Every unit is a new unit created by God, husband and wife, for the purpose, fellowshipping with God, having victory, being successful, living this life as a king, not as a dog or something like that. And to have children. To have children. And in the Old Testament, if you didn't have children, it's considered a curse. The curse of God. If you're childless, the blessing of God as you have many children. And we have the capacity. We're not forced to. We're willing. In the providence of God, Dawson preached, every man is born to reproduce. That's our destiny. That's our privilege. That's why we're here on earth. We're born to reproduce. First, to have physical children. And then you come to the New Testament. And Jesus, in John 15, takes it and says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. What? Ordained you while you're created. This is your purpose. This is your ordination. To what? To go and bring forth fruit. Your fruit should remain, follow up, to go into other generations of God. It will continue to reproduce and reproduce and reproduce. If it's life, it will reproduce life. Dead things do not multiply. Live things will reproduce after their kind. And so, who reproduces disciples? Disciples. The abiding disciple. What's the problem in the church? Where are true disciples? Where are those that are reproducing? That's the basic command of God. The basic command, whether it be for the family, to be fruitful, or the Christian, that he be fruitful. And God wants that every one of us will be a fruitful Christian before God. That's our duty. That's our destiny. That's a plan of God. That's his program. That supersedes everything else. That supersedes the church. The church comes later. Church not in heaven. We're in heaven. That comes later. Okay, the church, good. We go to church. All right. But that's not the answer. Amen. The answer is becoming a disciple that will live for Jesus. And a program can't have disciples. Only individual Christians can reproduce disciples. This was what's on the heart of God. Every time you saw him, everyone you did, and Doss had a plan, we can evangelize the world. Oh, send people, boop, 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 boop. No. Every person being faithful, producing one man, and teaching another. And that person being faithful, producing another man, and teaching another. And it's not just addition. Two becomes four, and four becomes eight, and eight becomes 16, 32, 64, 128, 256, 512, 1,028. I think my arithmetic's correct. In 10 generations, you multiply 10 times, you go from one person to 1,000 persons in 10 generations. If, one thing, you are faithful and you bear fruit. If not, basically it stops. If you do, basically God's program goes on and continues. This is the heart of what it was. And seldom ever would dogs go without, again, bringing in their reproduction. Without his plan, it begins with you and me, every person being a fruitful disciple. Every person bearing fruit. Every person abiding with Jesus Christ. Now, one of my notes has said, to make a disciple, you must be a disciple. You must be a good tree, produce good fruit. Only abiding disciples will produce the right kind of disciples. So beginning with me, that I will be a true disciple of Jesus, and then within the ability to reproduce. John 8:31, one of my definitions. If ye continue in my word, ye are my, the King James says, disciples indeed. True disciples, real disciples, or abiding disciples. And the key words continue. 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 The race is not to the sprinter, not to the one that takes off, whoo, and then after a while, bogs down. The race is continue. When you quit continuing, you quit being a disciple. When you quit growing, you quit being a disciple. When you quit having a quiet time, you quit being a disciple. When you allow sin to be in your life, you quit being a disciple. Disciples by doing the basic things that God has given us. And we then, by God's grace, God will use us to produce other people, other disciples. They need to see an example, not just a textbook. And they follow examples. Fathers have children. You have many teachers. You have one father. And basically we're talking about here, when we see spiritual reproduction, it means being a father and having those who are your children who will follow you and be along you and be along with you. So that's Disciple 101. Covered it fairly fast, but it's the heart of it. You have to be a disciple to make a disciple. And if you're not fruitful, if you're not doing it, then you will not do. You reproduce by abiding in Christ, in the Word, in prayer, and being a true disciple for Jesus Christ. You must be a disciple to make a disciple. God felt that everyone, when you get married, have a wife, hope to have children. Now, there's sometimes physical things come up or things, but in the normal providence of God, we expect to have children and so forth. And some people adopt them; they can't do this, but it's of God. That's God's program: being fruitful, multiply, and having children. And then his children have more children. Fathers become grandfathers, and grandfathers become great-grandfathers, and so forth. And so forth. That is the pattern. Now, I think in order to produce disciples, you need a plan. So far, I think everybody's with me. Here you may be, whoa, no. Well, we have programmed stuff like this or whatever. I want to, see the guy and see what he needs, and I'll figure out as I go along what he needs. And I'll tailor what I have to helping this guy. Well, you probably won't reproduce. And we're talking about reproduction. If you don't have a plan, and you're the starter, if you don't know where you're going before you start, if you don't have clear objectives, how do you expect the next generation, or what, to have it? And so I think you need a plan. I call it a syllabus. Way back about in 1947, after I was still living with Dawson's home, had my first assignment, was working at the Long Beach Servicemen Center, and following through. No, my first assignment was, Long Beach Servicemen Center. There were people being brought to Christ. Doss lived, and we lived in Pasadena, in Long Beach. They had a servicemen center. And then everyone that brought to Christ, my responsibility to check their decision and to help them, get them started in discipleship, and get them started along the way. And Doss had a little tool called the B rations, beginning with Christ. And we would present the tool to that time it was four verses, now it's five, to sit down with a young person and be sure that that person quotes a verse of Scripture before you leave him and is able to have that Scripture and is in his head, because he's going to be tempted by Satan. And if he has nothing with which to fight with, it's going to be confused. So the moment one came to Christ, we told them to memorize Scripture. Once I was in a workshop with Dawson, about like this, and I raised my hand, in my ignorance. I said, "Doss, how long does it take before a person becomes Christ, before you introduce him and have him memorize Scripture?" And Doss pulled himself up to full height, and you say, "You mean how many minutes or how many seconds?" Before they got away, they memorized a verse of Scripture. That's become our pattern in Asia, become our pattern wherever we were, become our pattern. When everyone that came to Christ, there were five or six people evangelists. I was a follow-up man. And they'd lead people to Christ. Everyone they led to Christ, and I would interview. I give them a Scripture. Then it was John 5:24. Change to 1 John 5:11 and 12. Well, a Scripture. I like John 5:24 better. because I built the bridge on it. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word believes. Well, sure, I got some name, and I think of why. I go into English. He that hears my word, believes on him that sent me, has everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. Okay. So he that hears my word, believes on him that sent me, has everlasting life right now, shall not come into condemnation. So we had the guy memorize that verse before he left. In all of our follow-up, in all our evangelism, he will not leave the door until he's memorized that verse. The Chinese can do it easily. Other cultures a little higher. But before he leaves, he quotes that verse of Scripture. The serviceman, they quote that verse of Scripture. You come back. Give them four verses. You come back next week. If they weren't able to quote that verse of Scripture, they probably wouldn't be back. They'll fall away. If they memorized John 5:24, 90% of the time, they'd be back, they'd be in follow-up. Then John 5:24, 1 Corinthians 10:13, there's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. God is faithful and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But such as common man, God is faithful and not allow you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. God has said you can have victory. If you sin because you want to, if you look at those pictures, if you go into that pornography, if you do this, you made a decision for Christ, if you use God's name in vain, you've disobeyed God, you sinned, you passed the test. If you want to, God will give you the victory. Cleanse your mind. Cleanse your heart. Cleanse your life. So assurance of salvation and starting on the victory to be victory over every sin, beginning with lust and flesh and all those things you begin with, then lying and cheating and cursing, whatever else. You begin with that. You hit on that. If they memorize those verses, they'd be with us. Memorize four. Memorize others. Memorize others. Even in Scripture, there's two things above everything else that will keep us from sin. Number one is memorizing Scripture. Thy words have I hid in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against God. So we give them assurance of salvation. We give them victory over sin. If they do fall, they don't lose their salvation. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all ungodliness. Every person is only 5 minutes away from walking in victory with God. We're all different stages. We're all different place. But we're dealing with a problem. We either have victory or failure. We do or we don't. We overcome or we become a victim. Early in life. Within the first 2 or 3 weeks, a pattern is usually set whether the person is going to continue to go and be a fruitful Christian or whether it's going to wash out and, as far as God's concerned, be unproductive or unfruitful. So the first steps of follow-up, very important. And Dawson began with Scripture memory, not Bible study, because he said that's a little harder. So they'll do Bible study later. We do give Bible study. But begin with Scripture memory. If they quote these verses, they would not fail. Let me project a little further and way into missions in a long time. I've been in mission field 45, 55 years, whatever, long, long time. I see all the people that fail. Been in charge of lots and lots of people, whatever. Going to sin, going to adultery, going to all kinds of things. Then ask them one question. Are you currently memorizing Scripture and meditate on it? Never have I heard the guy say yes. That was in sin. God's Word will keep us from sin. Or sin will keep us from God's Word. They will not coexist. And so that's why Dawson Troutman had a conviction. Getting people to memorize the Word of God and getting people into the Scripture. If they do, then these other things will come along. But it began with that, and then the Bible study began with things of the Word. That's where it begins. That's a battle. That's a fight. Scripture memory is a lot of things. But the law of the Lord is in His... None of His steps shall slide, foot sliding, because the Word is in my heart. I delight to do Thy will, O Thy God, because Thy Word abides in my heart. Almost every Scripture in the Old Testament is tied to living a clean, pure thought life. The key, of course. Not the garbage and all kinds of things we shouldn't watch and see. The key is saturating yourself and meditating on the Word of God, the Scripture. And learning to quote it is a wonderful discipline. And so we begin seeing that a person is saved and getting him into the Word of God. This is basic for anybody, any place, anywhere. If he gets into the Word of God, he will not remain in the Word of God. You're my disciples if you continue in the Word of God. Different level of temptations. Whoop, go deeper in the Word. Different verse of Scripture, go deeper in the Word. Different kind of temptation, go deeper in the Word. There's an answer to every problem in the Word of God. And the source of victory by obeying the Word of God. And our growth will correspond with what we have. And God tests us not according to what we don't know, what we do know. And being faithful and obedient. And this is basic to discipleship. And if we don't have victory, then how are we going to produce people that have victory? The basic that I have is from, let me say this, that I have a, let me go to the book. I have a plan of teaching the basics on discipleship. It's not a haphazard plan. I've studied it all my life, continue to hone it, but I have a basic plan. And the plan consists of three illustrations I learned from Dawson Troutman. One illustration that I sort of put together myself. Illustration I put together is called the bridge of salvation. So we had planned for this, but we didn't have. The Campus Crusade had four laws with a bridge. And in Taiwan, about, 20, 30 years ago, whatever, a colleague and I, Doug Sparks and I, we got together and I came up with this, a picture of a bridge, a systematic or plan of giving the gospel that we could teach to every person, that every person would clearly know how to present the gospel to somebody else. Most people don't, largely because, well, they don't know what to say, they're not clear, you have a workable plan. You can have other plans later, but have one. And so I developed a plan called the bridge. We put it together in Taiwan. We taught it. Later on, Billy Graham tapped us four times. I'm a member of the Billy Graham team. And basically, I don't know what they taught, but I taught the bridge. They okayed it. And the way in which they were built upon the plan that Dawson Troutman had when he was working with high school kids, junior high, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. So he taught them a sequence of verses. First was Romans 3:23. How many know Romans 3:23? Okay, let's quote it together. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Okay, start with that. Romans 6:23. Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. The second. The third verse, sometime they leave out. The third verse was judgment. Judgment is certain. Hebrews 9:27. But it's appointed unto men once to die. After this, the judgment. Sin. Death. Judgment. Hell. Every man doesn't have Christ. Sin. Death. Judgment. Hell. Bad news. Not the gospel. That's bad news. It's true. Not the gospel. Sin, death, judgment. Receive Jesus! Well, you've left out the gospel. Most people leave out the gospel. Jesus is Christ. You teach Christology. Who is Christ and what did he do? Who is he? He's God. If he's not God, you're not preaching the right one. Someone said, receive Jesus first as Savior and then as Lord. Tommy Rott. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not receiving Him, you're receiving the wrong person. He is God of God and King of kings and Lord of lords and ruler over all things. That's who you're receiving. And you're a dirty, rotten sinner. Nothing worthy. Don't get your life cleaned up and come to Christ. Don't disciple to follow Jesus all your life and come to Christ. That's not the basis. If it was, nobody would be saved anyway. Very few. It's by grace. And grace alone. By grace are you saved through faith. And so we bring this and we teach them, by grace you're saved through faith. The gift of God. It's a gift. Salvation's free. Be careful. But it's not cheap. Salvation's free. But it's not cheap. It's the most precious gift. The blood of Jesus Christ. The spotless Lamb of God. The only thing that can possibly cleanse us from our sin. And it's freely shed for us. So everything is there. And you give the gospel. What did Christ do? He did miracles. So what? Saves him. It doesn't save you. Oh, he healed me. So what? A lot of people so-called healed. They're not saved. It's a soul. It's a body. It doesn't change. Receive Jesus Christ into your life and heart and Savior. And so Jesus is a bridge, and when I present the gospel, the bridge of salvation. So how do you become? How are you saved? Historic Christianity, 1 Corinthians 15, Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again. It's complete. What do you do? One thing. Believe. Own the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died for you on the cross. And if you believe this, you pass from death to life without exception. Every single person that truly believes. And this is the gospel of grace. And so we give the gospel. If you're going to begin with discipleship, I suggest you begin with the gospel. There's a missionary kid that I went out and trained when I was in Shanghai, and he'd memorized the book of Philippians. And the guy that was Bishop Houghton, the leader of the China Inland Mission, was personally discipling him. And so, shall I bypass the bridge when I talk to Hans? No. And so when I came to Ked, are you safe? He said, I'm not sure. I don't know. Missionary parents. I don't know. Well, make it sure. Make it sure. And he made the decision. Teach counseling classes. Early days, about 15%. When you give a clear, do you really know you're saved? Well, will you do it today? We had about 15% of the people in counseling classes would receive Jesus as their Savior. Don't assume that everything is okay. Don't assume that he knows the gospel. Don't assume he knows grace. Don't assume that he's not working for his salvation. Don't assume that these things are clear. You begin with the fact that they're clear. And you present the gospel because you're going to teach this guy anyway to present the gospel. And you want him to be able to do it. And so you teach him, then he teaches you. And it becomes a tool that can be... But most people... The other reason, but the main reason, because they just don't have confidence that they can really present the gospel clearly and with a lot of people. And so you do that and you help them first in their life and others. My strategy on this is called the Timothy Principle, a book I've written. It's been in print for about 15, 20 years. I think they had 7 or 8 different printings printed in Singapore, the Navigators. And so they said, let's take the old cover and put a new cover on it and print it so much time. So this is a new edition. First out, just come, shipped by mail from Singapore. And the first person here is a guy. The second's a girl. So, these are discipleship among men, discipleship among women. And I separate them. Generally speaking, I don't disciple women. Okay, I teach women, but I don't disciple them. I have a wife. My wife disciples women. and how I disciple a man and how she disciples a woman, but not altogether the same. Now, we'll meet together sometime, a couple, meeting one couple now. I mean, on every Friday night, a couple, and then we'll have prayer together, fellowship, a cup of coffee. Then I'll go into one room with him, and she will go another place with her. And they have different needs. There are different things you try to do. The older women are commanded in Scripture in Titus to teach the younger women. And it's best done, man to man. Now, you can do groups and all, but man to man. My heart, developing men. My wife's heart, developing godly women. And so I disciple men. She does that. We use somewhat the same teaching, but a little different style, a little different way. And she disciples more women than I do men. Her prayer life is better than mine. She spends at least 2.5 hours a day. I don't spend quite that much. And in prayer. And she gets women. And to say, yes.
You want to talk about the Singapore story?
Which one?
Faithful men, faithful women.
Oh, I'll try to do it briefly. In Singapore, after I'd been in Singapore for about 10 or 12, six, seven years or so, and I was going to be there and leave and go to another country, then I put a test to this, that we would try to develop 30 godly men from Scripture. No, David had 30 mighty men. Mighty men. 30 mighty men. And they said, well, what about the girls? Well, godly girls. Mighty men and godly girls. And our goal was 30 mighty men and 30 godly girls. And the goal was to the third generation. It doesn't count. You have to, first of all, be a faithful member of a church. We wanted to tie into the church. Had to have be in Bible study and Scripture memory. And you have to have led a soul to Christ. And you had to be meeting with the person you led to Christ. And then that person, in turn, have gone to the third generation and led someone to Christ and began consistently to meeting with them. That's Singapore. We'd already done the work for 5-6 years. We arrived in 62, and this is 69, 7 years. We made our goal. 30 mighty men reproducing, 101, faithful, check up their people to the third generation. 37 godly girls. We had more girls than guys. I think 34. 34 godly men. 37 godly girls. We had certain standards. Had to be currently memorizing Scripture, doing Bible study. First, a member of the church, even have an assignment in the church. We added that. Church wanted, okay, do some kind of job in the church. Then, you've led a soul to Christ, and that person has a quiet time and devotional life, and is meeting with you, and that person, in turn, has led someone to Christ. There we stop with that, and how far that go on. Some at 5 and 6 generations. But we emphasized it, and this is what we came up with, the pattern. I have a pattern. My job in Navy was being a flight instructor. So my philosophy of training goes, when I was a flight instructor, my job was to train pilots in the Navy. Each one, we had what we call a syllabus. You started with takeoff and landing. You know, no need to fancy stuff and emmaments, and you know what emmament is, and slow rolls and barrel rolls and all like that, if you can't take off and land the plane. And you had different instructors, but you had standards that could be checked by any instructor. So I wanted a system clear enough that you could have a pattern, that we got other instructors who were basically working the same direction. We had our own style, but we did the same checkpoints. And so we made a series of checkpoints that they had to go before they could graduate and get their wings. First was takeoff and landing. And the second thing we did, we would go up and suddenly, they'd make steep turns and all like that. And the instructor would turn off the gas. The student would have to look for a landing field and turn the thing over and approach. You wouldn't let him land. You know, we'd take over before that. But do all the procedures for how to get out of an emergency and solve the things. And then you go into gunnery. And finally you go into formation flying and flying other things and all kinds of other. Then acrobatics, all kinds of things. But we had a syllabus. So I got together with, let's have a syllabus. So I had a syllabus beginning with Long Beach, California. I came up with a syllabus about the third year with the navigators, checked by other people. We set our standards. And the syllabus built around three illustrations, which we had a fourth one later. So this is a study or book built upon, first of all, how to give the plan of salvation. I call that takeoff and landing. If you can't land a plane, don't worry about it. Then, knowing how to do steep turns and all like that. Knowing how to victory over sin and things like that. And then very basics that they had to learn. We had the basics. And so everybody was taught the wheel that Dawson originated. And we're taught to train it and do it and do it by the wheel. And Doss said, my whole philosophy is centered on the wheel. Yeah, the hand, but the hand is just part of the wheel. The hand was first the word, and then the five spokes of the word, the hand. You know what? This finger is what? Hearing, reading, study, memorize, and meditate. Hear, read, study, memorize. The way that you'll get a grasp on the hand. So we developed that. Hearing, you got to go to church. Reading, we developed a plan. Everyone had to read through the Bible. We make a plan. We check their reading, at least a chapter a day. If you read three chapters, you can do it in a year. My wife has read the Bible through every year for ever since she was converted at 18 years old. And every year. She knows the Bible. And then hearing, reading, studying. Study is not listening to a Bible class. Amen. What's the key to studying? Anyone?
Rubbing pencil on paper.
That's right. Unless you're using your pen, you're not studying. You're sitting, you're listening, but you're not studying. Unless you have some original thought, application, you're not studying. Hear, read, study, memorize, and meditate. So we had these basic illustrations. The Dawson-Trotman wheel, word, prayer, and you witness by your life and by your lip what you do and what you say. That's the original wheel, more like that. So I wish we go to that. What you do, your life must check up, and you witness for Christ. So then you have your prayer, your hand of the word. How to get in the word? You have a hand on prayer. You're teaching prayer. You're teaching prayer habits. You have prayer list. You have things you want to do. You teach them to have a developed prayer life. And then after that, you're to ask God for fruit and ask God to bring someone into your life and reproduce. And so this is built upon eight lessons covering four basic illustrations, plan of salvation, the wheel, the Word of God, that's a bridge, and how to get into the Word, prayer, how to have a prayer life. Check up on that. Then your willingness or ability to teach this and to go and have your own spiritual fruit. And it's a plan, a pattern, of which it works. Other patterns can work. But have a pattern, especially for reproduction. If I teach something they can teach, then they'll reproduce. If I expect them to do all the things I have, be original in all these things, they're not able to do that for a long time, eventually maybe. But they reproduce much quicker if you have a syllabus, if you have a pattern. There's pros and cons on it, but I always had a syllabus, a pattern, and I reproduce. And my wife reproduces, and they know what they're after. After that, you can go in many directions. But the basics, everybody must know the basics. If you're not in the basics, you cannot be a disciple. Yes?
So your fourth illustration is the prayer hand? Is that because you mentioned
the prayer hand?
Is that the fourth one?
Yes, prayer hand, confession, intercession, petition, that is praying for yourself, intercession, praying for others, and praise. Praise permeates confession and praise, thanksgiving and praise. Thanksgiving is you thank your wife for cooking a meal, what she does, that's thanksgiving. You praise your wife because she's beautiful, that's praise. The difference, what you do and who you are. So there's a difference between the two. Petition, you pray for yourself and you pray for others. Unless you're doing the elements and praying. We teach them to develop. This is a how-to. It's a Navy pilot. I taught them how. How to fly a plane. How to shoot down planes. How to do acrobats. How to do formation flying. How to do a mission. And so then after that, they go into different kinds of aircraft. They do different kinds of things. But the basic training was basically the same. So this is a 8 weeks basic training that I recommend you either do something or something like it so that you know where you're going, you have a pattern, they know what they're doing, they have something they can reproduce, and so this is our basic style. How do I meet with a man? I have one section in here. Basically, when I meet with a man, I do three things. First, I have a definite time. I'm not that much hunting or fishing or what like that. He's going to come to my room and spend an hour and sit down and more formal. Okay, anyway, that's my style. And he's got to be willing to come. If he's not willing to come, well, you don't produce. He's got to be available. Got to be willing. Got to be willing to go through the program. It's a mutual commitment. Discipling is not done, you know, God disciples me. No, a man disciples you. Luke 16 says, first, we do another man's ministry, then our own. First, we're successful in little things, then in big things. First, we're successful, faithful in physical things, then in spiritual. There's principles involved. And so we teach this and develop it and go through these basic things. And so in my style, I use the Dawson-Trotman method of hear, read, study, memorize, and meditate built into the study. I don't know anybody else that does this, but this book does it. For instance, the first lesson is on spiritual reproduction. That's where I begin. Tell them, I'm going to teach you to be fruitful and have spiritual children. Are you willing to go along the way? That's where I start, at least. And then we give the burden for salvation. We give the plan of salvation. We give the bridge. When he comes back the second time, built into this, first I've lectured to him. He hears it. Then I have a one-page summary of what I taught him. One page, just reading. Okay, but it's built on that. Then I have a Bible study, same subject. The Bible study is on the same subject I'm teaching, and he answers questions in his own words from the Scripture on the Bible study on the subject. Then he memorizes two verses on the subject, all tied together. So he has this lesson. Say it's on, the third lesson is on the bridge, the plan of salvation. So what's he going to do? He's going to come to me, and then he's heard, he read it, and all like that. He answers the questions. He does scripture memory. Then he's going to give the bridge back to me. I check him. People don't do what you expect. They do what you inspect. And so he must pass the grade of being able to present the plan of salvation to me in a satisfactory way before we go to the next lesson. And so built in, the elements of teaching, you're teaching and teach as you go along. And so he must learn to do this. If he just does that, wow, he's liable to lead lots of people to Christ. He can be effectively in presenting the plan of salvation. So hear, read, they hear me. They read a chapter on the subject. They do a Bible study on the subject. They memorize scripture on the subject. And then they give back the subject, meditation, or give back to it. Then they go, and it's 8 lessons, but it takes 16 weeks, usually, because people aren't that fast. And you wait till they go along. But if he's not teaching this, when I finish, I failed. If you don't teach this course, I flunked. My purpose is not that you'll be a sponge and get more and more spiritual. My purpose is you'll be a channel, that you'll be a means of reproduction and bringing. And this is built on reproduction, start to finish. The last, it begins with being willing to become a disciple and learn to reproduce. And then the eighth lesson, okay, who are you going to work with? What's there? How are you going to put it in practice? What you're going to do? How are you going to apply it? Who are you going to teach it? Maybe I'll help him. And during the time, we do three things. Every time a person comes and meets with me, we have a time of personal, you know, here, there, and personal things, how you're doing, and ask about and pray together. We have a time of progress. I check his scripture memory. I check his Bible study. I check the assignments. And we have time of presenting a principle, a study. It may take a half an hour. We consistently go covering what we call the basics of these things. If he goes through them, then by the grace of God, he's able to. That's what we did in Singapore. It's a pattern we had. 101. I met 101 with seven people, and they became my three. Okay, I'm a professional. I mean, okay, I'm a missionary. I'm a professional. I'm not talking about quantity all like this. Okay, this is my job. This is what I do. I'm sold on it. I met 101 with seven people. Five of them became navigator staff later. I mean, the people you invest in, the people you meet with, the people you, a byproduct, is that they will come and be loyal and will be doing this and reproduce. Anyway, this is discipleship one-on-one, and it's supposed to go into missions. Any questions? Quick? Whatever? Yes.
Quickly mention, especially in the Far East, when you do the bridge illustration, what goes at the bottom of the gap between the two sides? I thought that was very important.
Bottom.
In the bridge.
Hell.
Bottom. Yes.
Hell.
20 feet.
Yes. Because the Americans don't do that, and I think we failed because we do not do that.
Sin, death, judgment, hell.
And
that's part of the, that's the bad news.
We don't say it that way.
I do.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the
reasons. You gave Romans 3:23, 6:23, Hebrews 9:27. You use Ephesians 2:8-9. What are the other two or three verses?
Romans 5:8 or 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. And the closing verse, I use John 5:24 because it has a past, present, and future of salvation. Present has life now. The moment you receive Christ, you're born again. Shall not be to hell. Absolutely guarantee. You will never go to hell. You pass from death to life. And is already. You're already a Christian. So I like that more vivid, the past, present, and future. So we still use the old berations in all of our countries of Asia because I think it's more descriptive. But whatever you use, same idea. Yes.
You were talking about checking up on your person for their progress.
Yeah.
Having them memorize scripture, recite scripture back.
Right.
Let's say one of your person you're discipling is just totally just bombing it every time. I know we're supposed to give you grace and we're supposed to be loving brothers.
It doesn't happen. I'll tell you why. What? You don't know that verse? I'm shocked. What? You don't know that verse? Oh, well. Let's get busy in memory right now. It doesn't happen the second time. At least when they meet with me. They don't come. They either memorize a verse or check out. We eliminate them early if they're not, if they're playing games. That's a good question. Look, into missions. Disciple 101. Try to go the basics and world vision. Okay, that's a book on missions. That's a book on missions. When I was, Dawson called me in long distance telephone. I was leading the navigator work in Texas. Said, Roy, I want you to leave Texas and go as quickly as possible to China. And a lot of people receive Christ, and you're to go and do follow-up in China. Go as soon as possible and try to get to Shanghai before the communists do. It was all there and surrounded. Peking was surrounded and all like that. It's a race. Get to Shanghai before the communists do. And so by the grace of God, I was the last missionary on the last American ship to reach Shanghai before the communists took over. And so I got off, the only person, American, that got off the ship. A lot of people got on the ship because they wanted to leave Shanghai. So,
how long did it take to get Shanghai?
5 weeks. Slow boat to China. It's a popular song at that time. Never mind. So, on the way out, I visited in Doss's home, the sanctuary. Doss had four healthy kids and one kid, Chucky, that was mongoloid or invalid or still in a crib, 9 years old and still in the crib and couldn't take care of themselves and all like that. And said God had a choice, did a work in my heart because of little Chucky. So we staff never hardly ever went in there. But this particular time I went in there, Doss and Lila and Chucky, and Doss began to pray for me. And Doss prayed something like this, Lord, lay on the heart of this young man what's on your heart. I said, what's on God's heart? The world. Lay on the heart of this man a vision for the world. God so loved the world. Later he said, I'm not sending you to Shanghai. That's your location. I'm sending you into the world. What's your job assignment? Very simple. Do what I taught you. So I was received by Dick Hillis, and here's 800 decisions. And so these people have come to Christ the last few weeks in Shanghai Crusade, and you follow up. Don't know a word of Chinese. First day in China, you follow them up. No problem. Here's what you do. So what we did, same thing we did in Long Beach. We got them memorizing scripture. And they memorized scripture, and the Chinese did a better job than that. And we got them squared away in their quiet time and their devotional life and all like this. And we taught the wheel, and we taught the hand, we taught the other hand. What's in here, basically? We divided into groups of about 15 each and recruited missionaries and leaders, and we gave the syllabus, and they taught it. And it worked. It works. You do follow-up. And so that was our heart and our assignment. Just very briefly, the Great Commission is in four dimensions, not just one. Usually all we hear is, go ye into all the world and teach all nations, make disciples and so forth in all nations of the world. That's fine. Great Commission, according to Matthew, the government found the church in every place, okay. But Mark 16:15, different. Go and preach the gospel to every creature. That's also the Great Commission. That's a church. There's a lost world. And I was trained by a man who, this was a verse that was on his heart. And Dick Hillis was his name. And Doss sent me, but Dick received me. Navigator sent me, but Youth for Christ, or Dick Hillis, trained me. China Inland Mission. Mission philosophy. Mission deal. A one-way ticket. You immerse yourself in the language, the culture, the people. Become part of them. When do you go home? Never. One-way passage, so to speak. I mean, that was the philosophy. They didn't believe until they had to. You give your life, and you preach systematically to every single person you can. The early days we did this. West Virginia, they witnessed to everyone. 125 people, evangelism, came to Christ. Then I was sent after that, USS Independence. So I said, hey, let's preach the gospel. Everybody on the USS Independence. Well, there was no chaplain. I was a naval officer, and they honored that. And said, okay. So we, our little Bible study, we got together. We're going to preach to every single person on the Independence as part of our responsibility. And so we set it up. And somebody led the singing, and I think I did the preaching. We gave an invitation. About 50 people sat in the chairs, and everybody else scoffing along the outside. But everybody heard the gospel. It's over the radio. I mean, over a speaker. They couldn't get away from it. Knock off all card game. No card playing, no smoking, no nothing. For 1 hour, they must hear the gospel. Well, nobody on the Independence can say, I did not hear the gospel. And the guy that trained me, nobody's a right really to hear the gospel twice until everybody hears it once. Let's go and preach. Now, Dawson's close friends were not teachers or theologians or pastors. They were evangelists. His closest friends were evangelists. And I was sent over, Roy, you work with the evangelist, and you do what I taught you, and you do as much follow-up as you can on all the people they lead to Christ. And that was my assignment. But I felt that I learned to take a part of the vision and a part of the place. In Taiwan, Dick Hillis had a chance to preach to every soldier. One of the greatest exodus in all of history. Chiang Kai-shek, the Nationalist Army, retreated from mainland China. They went to Taiwan. 600,000 troops, 1.5 million civilians. And Generalissimo Chiang Kai-shek had been influenced by Bob Pierce, a close friend. And so Bob Pierce introduced Generalissimo Chiang Kai-shek. In fact, they'd had a crusade in Nanking before they retreated to Taiwan. What do we need? They said, we want everyone in our service to get the word of God, a gospel. So Bob Pierce says, okay, here's 500,000 gospels. And Dick organized 5 gospel teams. And they went systematically. Generalissimo's picture, you can't come in. Yes, sir. They call the troops' attention, gun down. Yes, sir. And preach the gospel for 30 minutes. In the back was a decision for Christ. They wrote it in. Decision for Christ, I want to receive Jesus. They tore it out, and they gave it to me. And then my job was to follow up on every one of these soldiers. 6,000 soldiers made decisions for Christ. We wrote a simple Bible study. 2,000 did the Bible study, sent it back, and said they had received Christ. And then we had another lesson, another lesson, another lesson. Eventually, the work grew to 500,000 people completed that follow-up Bible study in a 10-year period from 1950 to 1960. I know nothing anywhere close to this in all history. And Dick Hillis, whatever it takes, will do the follow-up completely, provide the money. I started out with one half-time worker. We ended up with 21 full-time workers just doing the follow-up in Taiwan. And God did a great work in evangelism and so forth. Then they went home. And so let's get a gospel team and also preach. A part of the philosophy was everybody in my neighborhood should hear the gospel once. Somehow, and my main job has been to disciple it and all like that, but to train gospel teams and go to villages and systematically and see the gospel is presented. Then we do the follow-up. The third dimension of Great Commission, so that's the role of the pastor, Matthew, and the church, Great Commission. The role of the evangelist, Mark 6:15, and we need to multiply those. The role of the layman, Acts 1:8, ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the earth, beginning where you are. And Dawson said, crossing the borders should not make a missionary. If you're not a missionary in Denton, Texas, don't dare go to Japan or some other place. You, if you're not having victory over sin now, don't take it to the field. If you're not producing men here, don't muddy the waters over there. In other words, you be a fruitful disciple and producing Timothys where you are. And God will expand your coast and broaden your borders. Amen. Don't know where, but expand and broaden them in all kinds of ways. In every geographical location, there is to be planted a witness. Not an evangelist, not a pastor, but a witness. I think God, basically this movement, they emphasize on witnessing every walk of society, every level, every business house, every occupation, every neighborhood. Produce witnesses for Jesus that will testify of Jesus and then be an example. And then from that, of course, help bring people to Christ. So they're all three working together. The pastor, the evangelist, and the witness. We just finished a crusade in Manila, Franklin Graham, and so which our team sort of majors on evangelism and so forth. And so my Timothy was put in charge of everything. His name was Kumar Abraham, and trained him and so forth. He put in charge of all the whole works, and two of my staff to help him out. And they had they reached 300,000 people in the Philippines in 4 days. They had 33,000 decisions for Christ, 11%, which is higher than almost any crusade that we know about. 11% of the audience made decisions for Christ. And again, responsibility. Get them memorizing Scripture. Get them into Bible study. Get them into fellowship with Jesus. Get them into the church. And get them reproducing for Jesus Christ. That's the goal. That's follow-up. And that's what we're trying to do. So John 20:21 is, so send I you. And it's for all three. The church, the pastor, the Christian worker, the evangelist, those who are majoring in evangelism, and also the lay witness wherever he is. So send I you. Where was Jesus sent? To the cross. We go through the cross to the world. And don't bypass it. We give our life through the cross, becoming a messenger of the cross. Take up your cross and follow me. We go through the cross to the world. We're sent by God, and we're sent out through the cross into the world, and that's what God has sent us. Now, Sean, you take over from here. What I want to show now is that missions are now. The greatest challenge of missions is right now. You've heard, well, the day of missions is past. Has the Bible been rewritten? No. The day of missions is current. You say the mission fields are closed. Closed to who? Not closed to God. Not closed to the Word of God. Some of the greatest places are where a little more difficulty, a little more problems. We're commanded to go to every place into the world. So just in our little group, and Sean is my successor. He's the guy I trained to take over when I fly away. And we said, here are five locations in five countries where we need a man now. Say, well, nowhere I can go. Are you trained? If you know this, or equivalent, if you know how to lead a soul to Christ, if you can help a guy with his prayer life and develop, you are needed now, and you're qualified now. You're disciples. You're going over to make disciples and reproduce disciples. We need you. You can't do it from here. And there's great needs. You say, let the national do it. No. The national cannot do what the missionary is asked to do. What? Doesn't that contradict everything I've heard about missions? Might, but not everything I heard in the Bible. No. Go ye, leave your country, leave your culture, leave your kindred, leave your father, leave your mother, leave your plans, leave your system, leave what you have. Burn it and go. That's a missionary. And that person cannot be replaced. We don't have Chinese like that. They're still in their own culture and country. They haven't paid the price. They don't understand. We don't need more Chinese. We already got 1 million. We need a missionary who can enter into the culture and language and be not conformed to this world. Not to be conformed to the communist or the government. You're a missionary. You're sent by God. These are the kind of people that must go and can change the whole course of things. And so also they can continue. And so the missionary is irreplaceable. People like that. This kind of missionary. They can produce patterns and you can do a great thing. And you're a little guy and have hardly anything to do. The moment you step on foreign sun, you're going to be foreign soil. Whew, going to be besieged. People hounding you. Please, come teach. Come teach today. Come. I have trouble getting a place to teach. Come on the mission field. Half a dozen people, churches, places, begging for you. Oh, well, I'm not. Well, come. You know, expert, 100 miles away from home. You're a hero. You're an expert. You are, you know, a computer. You're it. If you're Catholics and you come from Italy, they think you come from the Citadel. If you're a missionary, you come from America. America is a Mecca. America is a place. America is the only country that has the facilities. So we need Americans who will leave their country, culture, a one-way ticket, and go to any of these places. And give us 4 or 5 of them, Sean.
Yeah, what 5 countries? Tell us that. Okay. If
you got your hand out, on the next page. TEL is a mission organization that Roy started sort of as a hobby, an outgrowth of his navigator work. There are a lot of ways to explain it, but okay. Trains and sends out evangelists.
And it was supported by the navigators for 10 years.
Correct.
As a project, the money and the thing under the navigators. Then when I retired, they say, "Woo! It'd be a little better if you develop this."
Yeah. So after Roy retired from the Navs, this is his next project, outgrowth of how God's sending Roy to the world through Doss and Trotman's sending out. And it started as a small mission with a small group with a few missionaries. It's still a small group, relatively. Okay. 70 missionaries on the field throughout Asia. And last year, Roy spoke here and presented a workshop on missions. And there's one young man, Rob McNierney. Does anyone know Rob? Rob
from Massachusetts.
From Massachusetts, from Boston.
Boston.
Yeah, Boston. And he heard this, and he said, you know, I'm a grad student. I've been to China as a short-term missionary for a project. Is there something that you know of that maybe I could be involved with short-term or longer-term? And Roy thought for a minute. He said, yes, we've been praying for a man to join our team in Vietnam. That was a year ago. So Rob is now serving with TEL in Vietnam, together with our longer-term missionary, Bob Hahn. And as a result of that, we said, well, maybe it would be helpful if we would put together in written form some opportunities that TEL has right now for missionaries, positions that are available. A few unique things about TEL. We do have different standards than some other missions. We don't require a degree in from a Bible college, but we do require that a person be basically doing a discipleship ministry where they are, have some experience, have a heart, and willing to go and be involved in the field, immersed in the culture, not living in a missionary compound, but learn the language. All of these opportunities are at least for a year, but they are open-ended. You're not asking for a lifetime commitment, but it could turn into that. So if you look at your third sheet, I'll just go through them quickly. Although there may be other opportunities, these are the five that are wide open for TEL, and we've been praying for someone to join. All a little bit different. Singapore, we're looking for a man who would be willing to work together with the Navigator Ministry in Singapore, actually live in the NAV headquarters, and disciple workers from foreign countries. Living in the visa-wise, you get it through the Navigators, through the Singapore NAVs. Budget-wise, $600 a month, that would be the minimum. And all these numbers are a little bit lower than what you'd see requirements for other missions. We have a bit of different philosophy. So, but this would be a minimum. It also includes money in the budget to support a national worker, to help support a national worker. Singapore probably would be the easiest entree from a cultural language point of view for an American. It's my favorite city in Singapore because it's very easy for me as an American. Number two, Saigon. This is where Rob went last year. Again, single man, do discipleship and evangelism together with the church in Vietnam. We have a good relationship with the church in Vietnam, and actually wide open doors. Roy's book has been translated and distributed to all the churches in Vietnam.
300.
All 300?
300 churches.
Yeah. And they're, TEL is in that respect is well known. Visa-wise, you can get a student visa and study language at the University of Vietnam. India, probably the most interesting opportunity, and probably the one that is most you could do a lot of good with the gospel. Indians are coming to Christ, and TEL has two gospel teams, full-time Indians. Roy is also, besides the director of TEL, he is also the TEL's missionary in India, and spends about 6 months of the year training the evangelists. So look for someone to join the team, live with them as on the Indian level, and that would be a fantastic opportunity. Visa-wise, very, very easy. The way we do it, five-year multiple entry. You have to leave every 6 months, come back. But there's the Indian government doesn't make any commitment, but you don't have any red tape, so... We like that way. Salatiga, a man or woman or couple to join our longtime missionary Don Klein, teach at his school. Could teach English. That's an opportunity, and do disciple making and evangelism among Muslims and also among the Christian community. Supervisor is Don Klein. Been with TEL for 15 years.
It's our oldest missionary.
Long-term, 15, 20?
He was first served in Indonesia before he went to China, before he went back to Indonesia.
Indonesia. So, great guy.
Oh, he has a kind of ministry, what you call holistic water purification, all kinds of projects. Old folks home,
yeah.
Almost anything you can do is service kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. Then his yaya-san will cover, will get your permission to stay.
Right. Yeah. So, from that one in Indonesia, that is really very exciting, wide open. This is Salatiga, is a beautiful place to live as well. Shanghai. Of course, Roy, I was sent to Shanghai at 48, got there in 49. This is a extension of that ministry over the last 50 years, and probably the best response that we've had in recent memory in China to the gospel, working again with the official church. Visa, we have various ways, of course, is visa problem getting to China. There's a lot of ways that we have to get in there. And the director is living in Hong Kong at the moment, Mark Bemendorfer, also long-term, stable missionary, committed to lifelong mission in China. So so as we put these together, we just were wondering, you know, maybe God is working. Maybe this would spark someone's interest to go. And then, or if not going personally, we also need senders, financial support. It turns out when Rob decided to go to Vietnam, he did not know how he would be supported, but someone who he did not know at all from a different state signed up to support him for a whole year. Praise God. This is... until we don't have a fundraising seminar that we send people to do this, but somehow God works it out. This is sort of our cell. So if you could consider these. Navigators, they have plenty of opportunities, especially with a program called EdgeCore. I was a Nav missionary myself in the International Training Program about 20 years ago, and it's probably the best thing that I've done. To help me understand what God is doing across the world. So that's it.
And this is just a token. I mean, multiply this by many times.
Oh yeah.
Every group has their.
Yeah.
It's just our little want list.
This is just our little list.
Every group has their own want list.
A guy that one of the first when I was living in Austin, we Roy said use this, it works. So I said, okay, we'll try it. So as an experiment, I got two guys in our local church together. I said, I'm not sure what we're going to do. Haven't tried this material yet. Of course, I'd known Roy for a long time, but let's go through it. And that the fellow that was giving me the most trouble didn't want to do his scripture memory, although, you know, we made him do it, and didn't know why we had to do it word perfect. Well, just because this is the way we do it. That person, is seven years later, he's serving as a missionary in Africa, working with SEND, seconded to Samaritan's Purse, doing basic evangelism and discipleship that he was trained to do. And now he's asking if he can reproduce this in Africa for his use. And he asked me if I could get permission for that. And we're saying, yes, yes.
Anybody can copy anything there.
Copy it.
It's made to distribute, not to... privatized.
Asking it for it in Portuguese. So I asked Roy, can we translate it to Portuguese? He said, someone has done that already, Noral Thunderbird. Said, oh, not only permission, but it's there. So.
No one had to translate for Brazil.
That's right. It turns out that works sort of in this part of Africa, so we'll try it. So please pray and consider. It's amazing what God does. We're just his servants and present the opportunity. So, time for evaluation.
I don't know.
Questions? Yeah, any questions?
I have questions.
Please come up if you want to talk personally. Want more information? Sign up. We'll send you a staff application. Let me pray. And and then we're dismissed. Father, we thank you so much for the way that you're working in the world. Pray that you'd help us be faithful where we are to what you've taught us. Help us make disciples and be disciples. We commit these five opportunities to you, and Lord, ask that you would